I know some of you probably remember me saying something about getting older and how it's not very fun sometimes, and how that you have more aches and pains. In my case, I noticed that my eyesight was getting worse. I can't read things up close or anything like that. And so I was going through a phase where I was going through reading glasses quite a bit. Well, luckily, I found something to take care of that, so it helped me a lot. And they have special contacts, monovision type contacts, where I don't have to worry about that right now anyway. So that's a blessing to me, and that's kind of why I don't wear glasses anymore. I've had a couple things happen to me in the past week that kind of brought me to this subject for this morning. The subject is going to be about life challenges. I was driving along this past week, and there was a car in front of me. There's actually two cars in front of me. I was on my way to a town just after. Of course, I won't be able to think of these towns, means I'm trying to think of them for you. Let's just say I was on the highway, okay? Now maybe I'll think of it as I go. Anyway, I was on the road, and it was a speed limit of about 65 there, I think it was. Anyway, we were all going the speed limit, and I was not thinking anything special. And all of a sudden, I saw this tire explode on the car that was two cars ahead of me, which was pretty close to me, but a little bit of ways. And that car swerved, started flipping, and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. It went down a deep ditch and rolled all the way up the ditch and was the opposite direction, facing from what it was before. Was about 2 foot away from a telephone pole. And it was a really violent wreck. So, of course, my first thought is I hope they weren't killed because it was that violent. So, as you're trying to think about what to do, you pull over and you want to go see if that person's okay, and all these things go through your mind, and you wonder what to do, and this is not something that I've ever seen before that close to me. But anyway, so this was like an SUV of some type that had this happen to him. And so four or five cars stopped, and we went over, and I was, as I was coming up to the van, somebody already called 911. Anyway, so I got up to where I could see the person trying to crawl out that was driving. Of course, they had blood all over their face, and we asked him how he was doing, and at that point he says, "Well, I think I'm doing okay, and I think my wife's okay. She was down by the ground underneath. I mean, she wasn't underneath the vehicle, but she was in the passenger side, and so it looked like he was okay, but yet you can't tell how you are." And he started to go into shock. His body was starting to shake, and it was really cold. And so the people from 911 said, "Do not go near that vehicle. It can roll down, because it was leaning where it could roll on you at any time." They said, "No matter what, don't go near that person. Just stay away." So all this was happening, and we stayed there for a while. And the police got there, the ambulances, and all that, and so on. And they had to carefully take him out. I left before that case because they had to get special people to get him out. And after we talked to the policeman and gave him our story on what we saw and that kind of thing, came back, and luckily they got him out and they took him in the hospital to the ambulances, and I haven't heard anything more. But what I was thinking through this whole thing is not only I wanted them to be okay, but what a challenge for them people that day. That was a really bad day for them people. I mean, I didn't have anything that was that bad that day. I mean, other than to see it, that was bad enough. But what a challenge that was. It was just something scary to see. And hopefully they're fine now. I'm hoping that. The car wasn't fine, but they are, hopefully. So that brought me to the subject of life's challenges. We can look at life's challenges in two different ways. We can look at it as something that's very difficult, and our challenges are difficult sometimes. Something that's hard for us to face, something that's hard to get through, something for us to overcome. Or we can think of a challenge as something, even though it may be great at the time, this is something that can help us to be stronger, help us to learn more patience, help us to be a better person because of it. something that we can learn from or get experiences from that can help us to better face the challenges that are before us, challenges that might happen to us next time in the future, because we're all going to have more challenges happen. It's just the way of life. In James 1, 2 through 5, what I'd like to, as I read this, I'd like you to consider these two different ways of looking at challenges, of life's challenges. James 1, 2 through 5 says, knowing this, excuse me, backing up here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God knows we're going to go through a lot of challenges, a lot of, as it talks about, different temptations that we go through. As we think of all the different temptations and the different challenges that we go through in life, there will be many. There'll be more for some than others. But as I think about the challenges of life, these verses comfort me, knowing that there's a reason that we go through some of the things we go through. Because God wants us to grow, and He wants us to be more patient, and He wants us to be better. If everything just goes all smooth and silky for us, we're going to take things for granted. And we're probably not going to get out of our comfort zone at all. Sometimes we're forced to get out of our comfort zone. You know, it seems like from the day you're born, challenges start, don't they? For both the child and the parents. It's great having children, and it's even more fun having grandchildren, even though I'm not talking bad about my kids, obviously, but now that we're grandparents, it's a great thing, as I'm sure the other grandparents involved with Ava will feel the same way as I do. But we as parents, we just hope for one thing, especially when we have a child, our own child, we hope that child is healthy. If they are, that's a great thing. But if they're not, it's a challenge that we go through as long as we live or as long as that child is alive. It can be a lifelong challenge, and I've seen it many times in my work. There's many handicapped children that people have to give up a lot of things for and have to go through a lot for. I'm just going to give you a quick example, a brief example in the last week that there's this one patient that I delivered to her for over 7 years. She's 15 now. I was just over at her house delivering the other day, and they just happened to be home. And actually, I was just talking to her mom for a little while, and here come this little girl in, and she's 15, and there's this other girl that looked like about what I would consider 15. That was her sister. Anyway, I didn't think too much about it at the time, but I just kind of kept talking to her mom, and they both came up and started talking to them, and this little girl starts talking to me, and I thought, this girl's 15? She looks like about 7 or 8. Well, because of her physical handicap, she didn't look very old. She began talking to me in her voice, and her mother was telling about some of the things she went through, because even though I kind of know, because I delivered for so many years, I hadn't seen her for all this time. And anyway, this little girl starts talking, and she goes, I got to go to school today. I haven't got to go to school for a while. And her mom told me it was 2 months that she hadn't been able to go to school. She'd been in and out of the hospital. And this had happened to her many times in the last 7 years. And she started talking in this little voice, and I wish she could be here right now to really help you appreciate what people go through. And I just looked at this as amazing. This little girl was so sincere, so happy. She in her real frail voice just started talking to me about school and how that she was feeling better and how that she was thankful she could get to do things right now. And it's unless you see that yourself, you don't realize what life challenges are all about. This little girl was happy, humble, loving, kind. She was just everything that God wants us to be. It just amazed me. Just from her talking to me alone, I felt really, really good, just because she made me a better person just by talking to her. She was going through just tremendous health issues, and she may At times she's almost lost her life, so hopefully she'll survive and things will go good for her. Her mother has hope, and I'm hoping that things work out for her. So parents, we should be thankful that our kids are healthy, because there's so many bad situations out there. This is just one of them that touched me in the last couple weeks. You know, I think back as when I had, back when we had kids, and some of the things we went through that I thought were hardships, I don't think that anymore after some of the things I see. You know, things like ear infections and sinus infections, and being at the doctor's office seemed like every couple weeks for all these different things, and colic all night, and you just don't get any sleep, it seems like. And, you know, hopefully none of you other people have the same situation with it that, you know, we had at times. And I'm not cutting down my kids, you know. I mean, I'm so happy they're really healthy now, and they're just doing really well. And, but I remember all those things, and wow, that was a challenge. It just seemed like a challenge. That's nothing to me anymore. I mean, that's nothing. And sometimes at night we would, after the next morning, we would look at each other and we hardly got any sleep, and we'd go, wow, we made it through another night. And I just, you know, now that I see what I see, that's nothing. Doesn't mean that's nothing. I mean, even though it's hard at the time, it's really nothing. And then we have a little granddaughter now that has a personality that just, you know, it's amazing. She just, that's all I can say for her right now. We'll just say amazing. Okay, nobody can really understand. Next, we're going to talk about the teen challenges, teenage. And I try to remember back when I was a teenager. It's hard to because my memory fails me at times. But I think mainly as a parent, some of the challenges you go through with your kids, the things, what you don't understand as a parent is they're going through so many things at that age, so many things. And we don't really understand it probably when we're going through it as a parent. And the kids don't understand why the parents the way they are when they're going through teenage. Mainly because the parents don't necessarily always understand maybe what they're going through at that particular time, because maybe they forgot or they've already been through that for a long time. Kids go through so many things as teens. They go through the fear of rejection, finding the right person to like, boy or girl. Boys and girls go through hormonal changes and balances. They have so much peer pressure. I'm not going to get into all the things, but I think everybody knows about all the bad things that have been happening at Southeast Polk, and all the kids killing themselves and so on. There's just so much pressure on kids, so much pressure to wanting to be liked and fit in, struggle for their independence, especially as they get into later teenage. There's so much of this going on in the schools. There's so much drinking. There's so much drugs, there's so much marijuana use, and there's a ton of bad language going on in schools. And it'll affect your kids. Even if they're in the church, it can affect their kids very easily to where it can be an issue for them to overcome. And I've heard of many kids in the church that are going through a lot of issues because of all these things they go through as teenagers. And I'm not talking just teenagers, but adults do too. But really, it's a tough age. They're going through so many things. And a teenage is very challenging for parents because you don't understand what they're going through, because no offense to my kids, but they really didn't like to talk to me. I wasn't cool anymore, and they didn't want to listen to me, and you know, that kind of thing when they were going through that stage. And you know, now that Josh has been a parent, I think he's starting to understand some of the things the parents go through. And you know, then you start to change and you start to understand things. But it's a really tough time for kids and parents, and it's just a really tough time, the teenage. So teenage is a really big challenge that parents and kids both have to overcome and have to go through, and it's not easy. It's so important that you talk about God with your kids, and I don't think I did this enough with my kids. Talk about God with your kids. Don't shun that. Try to talk about God more and more, because if you don't talk about your kids, then they're not going to think God's that important. If you don't think God's important, then they're not going to think God's important. And it's going to be hard if you do change to try to change that attitude with them. A very good passage, which I'm not going to go to for lack of time or because of time constraint, I'm going to tell you about, though, in Colossians 3, 1 through 21. That's a very good passage to read with your kids. It talks about many things. It talks about life. It talks about a lot of things that you go through. Talks about the things God can do for you. It talks about how God wants you to act. and how you should act. Another subject that is really tough for teens and those who are getting to this point, and we're going to briefly talk about this part because even though it's extremely important, I want to get through this. But that is kids trying to think about their mate, trying to think about getting married, and the seriousness of that. All the kids that are here that are even close to that age, I encourage you as much as I can. And the Bible encourages you to try to find somebody that will work with you in the church. If you don't, it's going to be an uphill battle. And you're not going to be happy. And there's going to be times they're going to pull you away. It's just going to happen. So be very, very careful on who you marry because marriage is so serious. And a lot of people don't really think about it until they're married. And then by that time, it's unfortunately for some people, it can be too late. But marriage is talked about in the Bible in many places. It talks about the different things you can do if you decide it's not working out. The thing God in the Bible tells us that He hates divorce. He does not want divorce, no matter what. But it was allowed by Moses. He made a decree of divorcement to pacify the people at that time. And there's different rules that apply to marriage, and we could go through those verses. But I think you've all heard those verses about, except for fornication, you can't get divorced, or you should not be divorced, or you can't marry again. Okay? There's verses in Matthew 19, 7 through 9 that talk about this. I'm going to go ahead and just briefly go through that real quick here. I'll make sure I'm getting it right for you. Matthew 19, 7 through 9 says, "They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. So it's a very serious thing, and there's many verses that we go through that talk about this thing. And it talks about in Matthew 12 and 31 that there's only one unforgivable sin. I'm not saying this to try to make an excuse on it because there's no excuses with God as far as what He wants. Marriage and divorce are a very important thing to God. Take it very seriously because if not, it will be a major challenge for you in the future. Now, I know there's some among us who have went through this, and I really feel bad for them, and I hope things work out really good for them. That's all I care about. As far as we'll say about that. But there's many things that we don't understand about people when we get married if we're not careful. There's might be things that we would never guessed about them before we get married. And there's cases where we know certain things about that person and we think we can change them. That's such a hard thing to do. It's almost impossible in a lot of cases to change that person. Not always. With God's help, you can. In some cases, it works out. In some cases, it doesn't. But hopefully as we choose a mate, and it's happened so with so many of us, we put our best foot forward, don't we, when we're dating. We try to show our best. Maybe try to hide a few things that maybe we shouldn't be doing, or future spouse may not like about us. But hopefully most of the good things that we like about them, or we liked before we were married, are still growing, they're still there, and they get better and better and more tolerable. And our marriage is going well. But if there are serious issues, we can't think that we're going to try to change that. If you go into that thought, it may not happen. It may happen, it may not. Okay, so basically what we're saying is, this is another of the huge challenges. I'm trying to tell the young ones or people who haven't gotten married yet, I'm trying to tell them, take it seriously because if you don't, this is going to be a serious challenge for you. It can be a very serious challenge. Okay, another big life challenges that I would like to talk about is the loss of loved ones and those close to us. There's many here, and all of us have had close loved ones in one way or another, or people or close friends and so on that we have lost. There's many people here that have gone on. And it's my hope and my belief that if we do what God says, we're going to be able to see them later. We're not going to see them in the same form, but we'll be able to glorify and to worship with them for all eternity if we make it to heaven, and that's our goal. That should be our ultimate goal. But the loss of close relatives and families, family is probably one of the hardest of life challenges that we go through. The loss of our church family, our friends, our close relatives. We hear about many tragedies. If you listen to the news, there's a tragedy every day. Some really touch us a lot more than others. I think the ones that affect us the most are the ones in the church, the ones that are close relatives to us and close family members and friends. Even though this is hard for us to go through, at times it might seem almost difficult for us to go through, almost impossible. We have the support of our family and friends in the church and those around about us that are close to us. We have the special memories of that person or persons who live in our mind. God gives us that gift. We have the comfort that God only can give to us, as the Bible tells us. And if that person was a Christian while they were living, we have hope. We believe that they can be up in heaven, in the waiting place, waiting to go to heaven. Revelations 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From now on, yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." This is such a hard challenge for us. In Matthew 5:4, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." We get the comfort that only God and Christ can give us. Even though it's such a hard challenge for us to go through, we're looking for a better place at the end of time. We're looking to go to paradise. We're looking to go to heaven. We're looking to go to paradise, the waiting place to heaven, until the judgment day. We also all have specific things that the devil knows that we have in our lives. I drive for a living, pretty much driving most of the time. There's many challenges on the road, as I'm sure all of you that drive know. There's many challenges. People just aren't very nice to you, and they do very bad things that they shouldn't do. Non-Christian type things, we'll say. And you see that. If you drive a lot, you'll see a lot of that. This is something that I find a challenge for me, to have a good feeling about that person at that time. And then I think about what God teaches us in the Bible, to love that person's soul, love that person, even though they might seem like your enemy at the time. That is one of the challenges that I have in my life. There's probably many things I could go through, but we all have certain challenges that we need to overcome. The devil knows exactly how to get you. Without God, without Christ, he can get you and he will get you. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "The devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour." He's always looking for the Christian people. People are trying to do the right thing because he doesn't have to work very hard for those who don't care about God. You know, we've talked about some of the bad things before, about the drinking and the smoking and the bad language, bad temper, sexual immorality. There's so many things you could talk about, but it all boils down to one thing. How much do we care about God? How much do we care about resisting the devil? How much do we care about having self-control to get through these things? But most of all, how much do we lean on God? Because without God, we probably can't overcome these things. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Ephesians 4:27 says, "Don't give place to the devil, neither give place to the devil." 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us to God gives us a way to escape our temptations. And in 2 Peter 2:9, it talks about God delivering the godly out of their temptation and punishing the unjust. God is our rock. God is our salvation. So when we look at a temptation or a challenge in our life that's really hard for us to overcome, and there will be many, how do we look at that? Do we give it to God? Do we put it in God's hands? Do we let him help us overcome it? Do we look at it in a way that it will help us? I think it's so easy as humans to look at it in the other way, that we're just use it against good, against God. God wants us to grow from it. He wants us to learn patience. He wants us to to grow and to strive to be better for Him. You know, there's a lot of challenges that we could have went through. We'd be here for hours, which I'm not going to do that to you, but there's so many life challenges that you can probably apply to your life that would be different than what I go through. Excuse me. But in closing, as we go through the challenge of life, I'd like to read this poem briefly too, but as we go through the challenge of life, let's remember what it says in Matthew 10:22. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. If we endure till the end, keep asking forgiveness, keep praying to God, try to do our best, try to overcome our faults, our challenges, our weaknesses, that person will endure to the end. We'll receive the reward that we're after. There's this little poem I like to read that I really like. And it says, "But we see Jesus at the end. I don't look back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinning, the regrets. I leave them all with Him who blots the record and mercifully forgives and then forgets. I don't look forward. God sees all the future. The road that's short or long will lead me home. And He will face with me its every trial and bear for me the burdens that may come. But I look up into the face of Jesus, and there my heart can rest. My fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness, and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled." Our goal is to see Jesus at the end. Our goal is to overcome our challenges that we have in life. There's many challenges that we go through. I'm sure some have greater challenges than I've seen that are here today. But how you deal with those challenges, whether you give them to God, how you overcome them, whether you make yourself a better person for it, that will determine how that you do overcome through Christ and how you do receive your reward in the end. This time we're going to offer a gospel invitation to anyone who would like to put on Christ that hasn't yet, would like to be baptized and go through the other steps of salvation to become a child of God's through Christ. Or if you have anything else that you'd like to bring forward, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number.